The official Fortnite Battle Royale Survival Guide, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News, and if this is your first time here, click that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on rest of the show, as well as further episodes to follow. And I'm going to tell you right now, hold off on the like button. Wait until you've seen the show to the extent that you feel confident of whether it deserves an upvote or not, and then vote accordingly. Obviously, I just added a new portion into it, and I just totally messed that part up. Anyways, my name is Taylor Merrick, and on today's show, we'll be looking at Epic's new Fortnite book hitting shelves in digital bookstores on Tuesday, and Facebook turning Instagram more into Facebook yet again. We'll be looking at the Valve Index reveal. We'll be looking at, well, Samsung blaming a user after the Galaxy S10 5G melts down, and we'll be looking at Microsoft helping veterans game again with some adaptive controllers. But first, did you know? Well, hang on, I gotta press the button here. Oh, why does it say trivia? I thought I updated that. Okay, it's supposed to say, did you know? I'm still working on it. Anyways, did you know that the original Xbox contained edited snippets of actual transmissions from the Apollo missions? If you didn't know that, now you know. Now you can test it out on somebody else. By the way, did you also know that 86% of people try to plug their USB devices upside down? Might be an unproven fact, but how many times have you tried to plug in a USB device and went, ah, stupid thing's upside down? Why can't it just be universal? I mean, just top down, whatever, a USB just up and over my head, but there you go. Did you know? And in case you didn't, now you know, and now you're at least a little bit more edumacated, as some may say. Moving right along to today in tech history. This is something that we do on every show. We always like to take a look back on today in tech history just to see how did everything technology, social media, gadgets, gaming come to be. And well, on this day, being that today is April 30th, 2019, and the last day in April of 2019, in 1904, computer pioneer George Stibitz was born. While at Bell Labs, George pioneers the principles of relay-based computing. His original design, the Model K, was a binary adder that was named after its original, after its place of original design, Stibitz's kitchen table. The modern K and Stibitz's further research formed the groundwork for Bell Labs' complex computer or number calculator, which was the first remotely accessed computer via a teletype machine. He later pursued his interest research at Dartmouth College as a member of its faculty. He passed away in 1995. And also on this day in 1916, information theory pioneer Claude Shannon was born. He's born in Gaylord, Michigan. Known as the inventor of information theory, Shannon is the first to use the word bit. Shannon, a contemporary of John von Neumann, Howard Aiken, and Alan Turing, sets the stage for the recognition of the basic theory of information that could be processed by the machines the other pioneers developed. He investigates information distortion, redundancy, and noise, and provides a means for information measurement. He identifies the bit as the fundamental unit of both data and computation. And if you didn't know that, well, now you know. And finally, on this day in history, in 1993, at the urging of Tim Berners-Lee, the creators of the World Wide Web Protocol, the directors of CERN released the source code of the World Wide Web into the public domain, making it freely available to anyone without licensing fees. The decision to make the World Wide Web software and protocols freely available is considered by some as possibly the single most important moment in the history of the internet. Why? Well, simply because of the fact that some historians mark this as the birth of the web. So, now that we have that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. All right, you heard it here first. Epic's new Fortnite Survival Guide promises to unlock game secrets. So, for the 250 million or so Fortnite fans around the world, a new book is coming to town. And I know what you're thinking right now. Well, why read a book when I could just watch a video, or I could watch Ninja, or I could just watch another live streamer, or I could go play the game? Well, the fact is, some people learn better through reading, and I guarantee you, out of those 250 million, y'all, some of them are going to read some books. You see, me, personally, growing up, I lived like two blocks away from a library. I must have had that thing loaded down 50 pounds day in and day out. I went to the library all the time. I was a bookworm. I admit it. I read a lot of books. That's how I learned a lot of stuff. That's how I learned about Java, JavaScript, the internet, computing, computers, tearing apart a computer, putting together a computer, business, mystery novels, writing, and anything and everything. And then obviously I'd take those interests. I'd read and research and have some fun, and then I'd go and break a computer or smash a record player on accident, or break a website, or... Yeah, I broke a lot of stuff growing up. Don't tell Mom. And if Mom, you're watching this, it was for its own good. I was learning. So what does that have to do with this article, Taylor? I know. I'm just trying to tell you there are some people who like reading books. So the official Fortnite Battle Royale Survival Guide is set to launch at bookstores and online next Tuesday. With the official guide, Epic's offering an endorsement alternative to a host of other books from a variety of publishers, because if you didn't already, there are a lot of other books out there about Fortnite. Well, this one is officially licensed and brought to you by Epic. As if privately held, Epic hasn't reportedly made hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars off the video game that has become a pop culture phenomenon. Okay, this isn't much of a spoiler, but oh gosh, they even included it in an Endgame. I'm coming off a weekend of the biggest movie ever released in movie history. Actually, that's why I didn't do a show yesterday. Still recovering from Avengers Endgame. Don't worry, I'm not spoiling anything, but I find it very interesting when games and memes and things in real life make it into go so mainstream as to make it into TV shows and movies. Essentially, it's now memorialized for history. Now you can watch Avengers Endgame and you'll see Fortnite in it. It's pretty funny. I'm not going to spoil the scene that it's in. You guys will enjoy it. And if you have seen it, well, you know what I'm talking about. So, there have been tie-ins as well with the mega blockbuster Avengers movies, that main big event that's going on right now. Yeah, that game mode's fun for right now, but stupid annoying that some people on namely the enemy team have to leave, and they go, oh, I don't like this, and they leave, and it's like, well, guys, we're doing fine, we have a chance, it's 50-50 shot, you'll be on one team or the other. The cash flow has made Epic worth as much as $8 billion, and its owner, Tim Sweeney, a billionaire, according to Bloomberg News and other reports. Epic is also viewed as a unicorn in private equity circles, having raised hundreds of millions from investors such as Tencent and Disney. Now comes print. So for those of you interested, the guide will retail for a modest $13, with discounts already available for pre-order. Little Brown Books for Young Readers is the publisher. This full-color hardcover book includes all the top tricks and tips you'll need to dominate Battle Royale. From basic gameplay to more advanced maneuvers, this handbook lists all the essential tips and tricks you need to become the last player standing. Immerse yourself in island walkthroughs, weapon rundowns, combat hacks, building guides, team tactics, and more. In promoting the book, Epic says it will feature three key things you might want to look at. Full island survival guide, all the key places to loot, land, how to get around the island with ease, sneaky survival tactics, smart ways to use the storm to your benefit, top tiers and tips for building your way out of troubles, and the outfit options that offer the best camouflage, and how to fight better and smarter. Crazy and creative ideas for using game elements to your advantage, whether playing solo or in a team. In the past, Epic has turned to publishing to promote its titles, especially Gears of War, with popular sci-fi author Karen Travis churning out several titles. Now, it's not to say that there's controversy going on apparently regarding that, but apparently more stupid lawsuits are coming up. But I'm excited about the book. How about you guys? If you're interested in getting the book, let me know down in the comment section. And, well, we'll see. It's promising. Very interesting. I wonder if we'll learn anything new. What do you think? Are you excited? Let me know down in the comment section. That's all for the comments and the feature story. Let's move on to the rest of the news, shall we? I'm still getting used to... on top of getting over watching Avengers Endgame on opening weekend, along with a crazy hectic weekend to go along with it, along with some crazy behind-the-scenes stuff that... Here's what I'm going to say right now, guys. Tomorrow, May 1st, you will get to see everything that I've been working on for the past month. It's going to be announced. It's going to be revealed. I'm going to probably talk about it on the podcast tomorrow. It'll be on social media sites. It'll be in email. It'll be everywhere. So if you're not following us on our social profiles, we're on Twitter. We're on YouTube. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Yeah. And technewsgadget.com. Probably make an announcement there as well. If you're not on our email list, we'll make an announcement there as well. But yeah, big Yoshi news coming. It's so my brain's all over the place. So I thought apparently I'd be able to get back into the swing of things. Apparently I'm still trying to calm down from the high and get back to reality. Today's Tuesday, right? Jeez. Anyways, hope you guys are having a good week so far. So, moving on to our next news of the day. Facebook is turning Instagram into the new Facebook. If you hadn't noticed it already and you hadn't been tuned into F8, although why anybody would, you can condense it down into like a 13-minute video and go, a lot of whining going on. Hey guys, anything new coming to the table? Anything interesting? That's me whacking my desk. Why are all these people leaving? Yeah, because you're stealing their baby from them, and then you go, let's kill the goose that laid the golden egg, and then we'll get money. And it'll be like, yeah, but now you can't make any more golden eggs. Are you stupid? Anyways, businesses, I tell you. Scarred by an seemingly endless parade of scandals and troubled by an ongoing decline in usage among teens and millennials, Facebook's leadership seems to be trying to recreate its flatlining social network on Instagram, its younger, hipper, money-making, and still relatively scandal-free arm. Although I guarantee if they start digging their claws in a little bit too much, everybody's going to be like, Instagram, oh, and see ya. Most of them are on Snapchat anyways. Oops, sorry to tell you. Instagram has been growing rapidly, perhaps as people gravitate toward its simpler, selective focus over Facebook's maximalist share-all, share-everything platform that mixes in a flurry of life updates, articles, birthday notifications, memories, and whatnot. Instagram is a single cohesive stream of photos and videos, but that's been changing, and given a handful of announcements at the company's F8 developer conference today, the transformation looks to be picking up speed. Since its acquisition by Facebook in 2012, Instagram has been steadily porting over Facebook's features, including videos, tagging, albums, advertising, and private messaging. With stories, it has cloned essentially Snapchat. And today, the Facebookization of Instagram seems inevitable based on changes announced at F8 today. And if you didn't hear it, well, here it is. Instagram head Adam Mosseri introduced Create Mode, a new stories format made just for text, quizzes, polls, and all of Instagram's other features not related to photos or videos. It's essentially a dupe of Facebook's color block statuses launched in 2017. Another new Instagram feature, donation stickers, which allow users to raise money for charity through stories. On Facebook, users have been able to fundraise for nonprofits since 2015 and have collected over $300 million just through birthday fundraisers alone as of August 2018. Instagram has also added ways for people to spend more money on the platform. Last month, users could start buying products from certain brands directly on the app through shopping tags, which are like Facebook's Shop Now ad modules, except they don't really look like ads. And today, Instagram said select influencers could start adding those shopping tags to their posts. An Instagram spokesperson clarified that influencers would not get a cut of any revenue generated from those shopping tags. So, one of Facebook's most active features, Groups, isn't officially on Instagram, but that hasn't stopped its users from creating ad hoc group-esque pages on the social network. Anyways, it seems only a matter of time until, well, Groups pop up on Instagram as well. So, what do you think Instagram is going to be scandal-free for the time being going on. Hopefully, I mean, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know. I looked at this article and I said, great. I just turned Instagram into Facebook. Not like I was on Instagram much to begin with, but I was just starting to like it. Well, you can do it at once, but if people start hopping over to Snapchat or somewhere else, don't come crying to me. Moving on to some gadget news, the Valve Index has been revealed. Is it the best of VR's first gen? Or is it not really worth the $999 hype? So, the Valve Index, a new virtual reality system from the creators of beloved video game series like Half-Life and Portal, and the mega-popular Steam Game Store, is an aspirational product. Its sales pitch, as explained by various Valve staffers, revolves around the VR experience of tomorrow. That's a nice way of saying that Valve is going for features and dreams rather than affordability with its $999 Valve Index kit, which ships by the end of June after limited pre-orders go live on May 1st for users in the US and most of Western Europe, excluding the UK for now. But through the course of Valve's recent reveal, its aspiration for VR's future became abundantly clear and abundantly conservative. Now, if you saw last month's news about Valve's VR headset and began dreaming big, well, today's the day to scale the dream back a little bit. The Valve Index does not read your brainwaves, does not track your heart rate, in case you're worried about that, and does not track your eyeballs' motion. The Valve Index does not innovate with an inside-out tracking system. It does not include an array of secret cameras or sensors, and does not bounce sound waves via hidden or embedded speakers. The Valve Index does not employ a shrunken infinite pixel panel or come with a revolutionary new take on foveated rendering. The Valve Index does not include a built-in processing unit. It must be connected to a gaming caliper PC with a long cord trailing from the back of your head. Also, the Index was not introduced alongside a new Valve video game. We learned in February 2017 that three Valve VR games are on their way, but this week's Index event wasn't used to premiere any video games. In fact, the bad news was met with more bad news. Only one Valve VR game is slated to launch by the end of 2019, and apparently the people who wrote the article didn't get to see or test it. And apparently there's no announcement on the other two games at this time. So here we have some photos. For those of you listening to the podcast, all you have to do is click or tap or swipe for more details, and you can tap on the article to see more about it. Or you can watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/technewsgadget. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button if you're liking the content. And look at photos. So here you go. Here's how the Valve Index looks like. A whole lot of fun. I can guarantee you this is a perfect blindfold if you want a person to smash into your fireplace mantle and knock over your flat screen TV, because they ain't going to see squat. But the only thing, the saving grace there, is that it's connected to a cord that you have to connect into a PC. So you'd be limited in terms of how much you can move there. But yeah, $999. You guys think it's worth it? I don't know. Let me know. I figured I'd throw this article in here. It's more attempts at VR, virtual reality. Although this product seems to be a little bit conservative in terms of, well, it can't do this and it can't do that. And what it can do, it's not really a lot. Maybe they're like, maybe we should just look at this and say, no, don't go for the big old ideas. Don't go for the big dreams. Just go for something a little bit more realistic. And when you go, yeah, that's what we've been wanting this whole time. Now, the thing is, we have to get the game developers on board who want to be able to create the games, who can spend the time, spend the money and effort and hiring the people and figuring out game engines and everything else to make a really good VR game. Because once you can get that set in stone and you can set the standard there, then you can have some fun and start measurably scaling it up. See, I shouldn't have to explain this stuff. They probably know it already. So, there you go. There's all the photos for you. There's an image as a preview of what the 5-degree lens angling looks like internally. That's a bit crazy. Man. That's something else. So, there you go. There's the Valve Index. Moving on to some more gadget news. Well, Samsung is blaming a user after the Galaxy S10 5G melts down. If you look at it in the photo here, it was ruined by internal burning, but the owner and Samsung disagree as to the cause. Now, see, complaints about shaky data service wind up being the tip of the iceberg for Samsung's flagship Galaxy S10 5G, as the company is now combating a South Korean customer's claim that his six-day-old phone caught on fire, quote, without reasons. According to the AFP, the manufacturer is blaming an external impact for the damage, which appears to have burned the device from the inside out. Mainly what they're saying is somebody must have punched it or hit it or it fell or hit something, and that's why it lit and burned on fire. The Galaxy S10 5G is the world's first fully integrated 5G smartphone, officially hitting South Korean stores via three carriers on April 5th. It's currently scheduled to arrive in the U.S. on May 16th via Verizon before becoming available to other carriers. Photos of the device from the user, identified only by the surname Lee, show comprehensive damage to the front, rear, and sides of the new phone, ranging from cracked glass to melted plastic and metal. Lee claims that the S10 5G was sitting on a table when it started smelling burnt, and smoke soon engulfed my phone, and that he dropped the device because it was so hot. When he reached out to Samsung, the company refused to replace or refund the $1,200 purchase, suggesting, well, he was at fault. We got the product and completed the external inspection and X-ray inspection, Samsung said in a statement, but the external traces are obvious. We can't find any product defects. It may be caused by the external impact on the smartphone. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think, like, this looks a little bit fishy? Like, somebody just wanted to get press? I actually wonder if it was, like, a journalist who did it just to say, hey, look, I lit my phone on fire and got free money. No, don't go do that. Or if it actually was a legitimate, regular individual, and the phone just happened to randomly start on fire. See, this is a problem that you have with smartphones. Smartphones catch on fire. No, they don't. Very small cases of them do. The rest of us walk around phones for the rest of our lives, perfectly fine. So, I don't know. Remains to be seen, but, be careful with your phones, and if you do get a phone, maybe consider getting insurance for it. That might help. Yeah. Moving on to our last story of today. Microsoft is helping veterans game again with Xbox Adaptive Controllers. So, Microsoft's Xbox Adaptive Controller started out as two hackathon projects at the company after an idea from a veteran with limited mobility. Designed for gamers with disabilities, the controller has two large programmable buttons and 19 jacks that can be connected to various accessories to make Xbox and PC gaming far more accessible for a number of players. Microsoft is now partnering with the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs to provide 22 rehab centers with Xbox Adaptive Controllers and allow veterans with limited mobility the ability to play games again. This is something that is definitely exciting to hear about for those individuals who have limited mobility, who would like to play a game, enjoy Super Bowl games or Super Bowl football, who want to play football, who want to play Fortnite, any variety of games. Well, this is what the adaptive controllers are for. Really exciting to see these come rolling out. These controllers, which starred in the company's Super Bowl commercial earlier this year. That's why I said Super Bowl, because I saw Super Bowl and I was like, oh yeah, that commercial that you guys probably saw. I saw. If you didn't see it, it's not your fault. You didn't see it. I saw it. I saw it at Super Bowl. So, it will be used in therapeutic and rehabilitative activities for veterans and are designed to improve things like hand-eye coordination, muscle activation, and general social activities. Gaming is a popular activity in the military, so this rollout seems like a natural fit for the existing 20-year partnership between the VA and Microsoft. So, let's see, price-wise, the Xbox Adaptive Controller debuted late last year for $99, and we've already seen people hacking things together to get it to work on Nintendo's Switch console. Having this work on multiple platforms is a big point of feedback for Microsoft. I think the number one piece of feedback that we get is we wish all platforms supported it. That's something Microsoft wants to address, but it doesn't own the software that runs on Sony's PlayStation consoles or Nintendo's Switch hardware. So, in the meantime, people are probably hacking and putting stuff together or trying to figure out a way to do it properly. So, good on them. Good on them. So, I'm definitely excited about that. And if you haven't heard about this news and you're interested about it, look into it. And outside of that, if you know somebody who could be using the Xbox Adaptive Controller, hey, let them know that they can play. It's, gaming is a very unifying thing to do for lots of people, and is one way to help those who have limited mobility able to enjoy things that the rest of us take for granted. Oh, I forgot to turn off that button. As you can tell, I'm beat. Long day at work, long weekend, long launch date coming up. I'm tired, I'm burnt out, and sorry if my brain wasn't all in it today, but as you can tell, I'm tired. I think some sleep will probably do me some good. So with that, that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and Facebook Watch. And I just wanted to make a quick shout out for those of you who have been listening more often on Spotify. Thank you so much. I know you guys are out there on Spotify. You totally love listening, and I'm happy to be able to provide you with a resource there. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know by clicking that like button and leaving a comment if you're watching this via video. Also, double check that you're subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.